Welcome to the Rebecca Lee Podcast, the 2.0 edition. I'm your host, Rebecca, for your go-to self-development podcast. On this podcast, you can expect to take away tangible tips, motivation, and positive energy on the journey to expanding into your best self. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of self-development and holistic wellness to nourish your mind and create positive change from within. My mission is to help you feel like your most authentic, confident, and best radiant self from within. Thank you for being here, and let's go on this journey from surviving to thriving together. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited that you tuned in for today's episode because today we have a fabulous guest with us, Dr. Morgan Anderson. Please say hello.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited as well. I actually saw you speak at an event that I was at a few months ago, and hearing you talk about attachment theory and attachment theory, not only in love, but also in business, I thought was super interesting. And attachment theory is something that I kind of started more recently learning about. So I thought, you know what, it'd be great to have you on the podcast. You're an expert in this, and I know the audience will get so much value from all the information that you have to share with us today. So I guess let's just get started with learning a little bit more about you. Can you share with the audience who you are and what it is that you do?
Absolutely. Yes, I'm Dr. Morgan Anderson. I'm a clinical psychologist and attachment theory researcher. I started out on the traditional path of having a private practice, and I was, you know, in my clinical practice, and then realized, wow, I want to help more than 20 people a week. And then I went on and launched my podcast, the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. And now I have a coaching program for women that helps them become securely attached. But I am so passionate about what I do because of my own personal journey and my own story. So like so many of us that find ourselves coaching and, you know, having a heart-centered business, for me, it came from, I went through the things that I help people heal. And my story starts with experiencing loss at a very young age. When I was 6 years old, I lost my mom unexpectedly. And I think anyone who's lost a parent, you know what that brings up. And especially being 6 years old, that caused a lot of chaos and fear of abandonment. And basically from that age until my late 20s, I experienced what is called a disorganized attachment style, which you and I will get into later. And I really hit rock bottom in my mid 20s. I found myself in really toxic relationships, and I ended up in a relationship with a full-blown narcissist. And I just have so much compassion for anyone who's gone through that, and you're listening. I know we know what that experience is it makes you get to this place where you have low self-worth. You don't recognize yourself. Being with somebody who was so controlling, I really just hit rock bottom, and I went, I can't do this anymore. I have to change. I felt like I was forced to change. And I'm really grateful at that low point in my life, I decided to heal, which for me, at the time I was getting my doctorate in clinical psychology. And one of the things I decided to do was learn everything that I possibly could about attachment theory. And that was one of the keys that has helped me heal and regulate my nervous system and become the securely attached woman I am today. And now I'm engaged to an incredible man and getting married this year. And attachment theory was a big part of that, of learning about it and applying it to my life. So yeah, now here I am, and I get to, I mean, getting to help thousands of people and I always tell people if I can do this, you can do it because if you would have looked at my life in my 20s, I mean, it didn't seem like I was able to have a healthy relationship. It didn't seem like it would have been possible for me. So I feel like I am proof that no matter how broken you think you are, no matter how much trauma you've been through, you can absolutely heal and you can have the relationships that you deserve.
Amazing, amazing. I mean, I'm so sorry you had to go through such a traumatic experience at such a young age, but it's definitely shaped you and led you to who you are today and how you're able to help so many other women through situations that, you definitely have struggled through. And so I guess for anyone listening right now who maybe isn't super familiar with attachment theory, let's just give them the basics of what even is attachment theory and, how can we use it to benefit our lives?
Yes. So I always tell people at its most basic level, attachment theory is the science of understanding why you do what you do in relationships in order to attract and maintain relationships. And it started off in the 1950s with John Bowlby and Mary Ainsworth. It was actually originally researching how parents related to their children. And we were able to see that there are four attachment styles. And each style is a representation of how someone would show up in a relationship, how they maintain the relationship, how they ask for reassurance, the beliefs they have about relationships. And what we know is that your attachment style begins to form from the moment that you're born. And it can be rooted in your relationship experiences. It's the model that your brain has for this is how I form and maintain relationships. And for a lot of us, there's a lot of unhelpful things that our brain learned about relationships that are sabotaging us and causing us to have one of the three insecure styles. There's three insecure styles, which we'll go in depth on, and then there's secure attachment. This is the healthy style, the style that we all want. But a lot of us were not raised with the types of relationships that could help us build secure attachment. And then that's why we have to intentionally rewire our brains and learn how to show up securely attached.
Totally, totally. I remember when I first started learning about attachment theory, it made so much sense to me and it explained so many of, I guess, my patterns because of certain things in my childhood. So I would be interested to hear from your perspective, I guess, each of the different styles of attachment. If we can go through one by one, I guess each of the insecure styles and the secure.
Let's get into it. And I will say this, I will give you a link for your audience if they want to take a quiz. I think it's helpful to go through a quiz that'll kind
Find
of
out what
tell
they
you,
are.
yeah, what your style is. So we'll give you that link for sure. There are four styles, the insecure styles, there are three of them. The first one I'll talk about is anxious attachment. And with anxious attachment, this is where you are devaluing self and overvaluing others. This is our chronic people pleasers, people experiencing fear of abandonment. You may have difficulty expressing your needs. You may have difficulty setting boundaries, even being in tune with your own emotions. This is that person when they're dating, it can look like sending those 17 text messages when you don't get a response, and then your brain is going worst case scenario. Oh my gosh, they've run off with someone new and they never want to talk to me again. So it can be exhausting, this attachment style.
That's the one I've resonated most with in the past.
Yeah, and it can lead us to do a lot of achieving as well and really throwing our energy into that. One thing I like to point out with anxious attachment is you have a very hard time accepting reassurance. So when we get reassurance from a partner, it's the thing that lets us know, okay, I'm safe, this relationship's going well, right? If we have anxious attachment, it's like our reassurance bucket has holes in it. No matter how much reassurance our partner gives us, it's very hard for us to internalize it. And then someone with anxious attachment in their childhood, let's talk about that. They might have experienced some neglect. They might have experienced sudden changes, maybe some actual abandonment that occurred. They may have experienced their emotions being too much. They were told that they're too much, that they can't take up space, which actually makes emotions bigger, as we know. And then they also might not have had adults that could model self-soothing. Like, how do you learn how to regulate your emotions? They might not have had healthy models for emotional regulation. How does that land for you?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And I think an important thing to point out is that you can still have like an amazing childhood, quote unquote. Like nothing bad, I feel like has
Yes.
needs to happen in order for you as an adult today to have a certain mold of, your attachment style. Like for me personally, and I think I mentioned this before, my parents were really busy growing up, starting a business. My mom was starting a business. We were struggling with money at the time, and my mom just kind of made it work to start her own business. My dad was still working, and from a young age, I was left not alone. I was with babysitters or, other people, but my parents were very busy. And it wasn't until I got older until I realized, like, oh my gosh, I would say I had an amazing childhood. I've been the best parents in the whole world, but because they were building a business, you know how much time and effort and energy it takes to build a
Yes.
business. I maybe was not getting as much like attention as a young girl that I now look back on that just like that created that abandonment wound a little
Yes.
bit because they had to travel a lot too for business. So it's not even like anything bad per se happened, but I didn't realize how much that still affected me into my adulthood.
I think this is such an important point because people will come to me and they'll say, I had a great childhood. I had a roof over my head. I had everything I needed, right? But the reality is that we can experience relational wounding, relational trauma that goes beyond, a major traumatic event, but it's more the models that you're experiencing for relationships and those unhealthy beliefs then that get formed because of the experiences. So yes, you may have had a trauma-free childhood. It could look that way on the outside, but if we looked into what your brain was learning about relationships, you may have experienced relational trauma, which is valid.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we'll go a step further. If someone was listening right now, or I guess you could say it to myself as well, who is experiencing or maybe has more of an anxious attachment style, because I do know that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, anxious attachment is more prevalent in women, and majority of my audience is female. What could we do, like tangibly, to help us get over this anxious attachment style and become more secure? Because I know the feeling, and I think I was way more like this in my past, where I'd be in relationships and I would feel deep down, insecure about it. I would feel anxious. And you're right, it was never enough reassurance. And I feel like that deep core wound of anxiousness manifested itself in so many toxic ways. And so if somebody's listening and was like, I don't want to be anxious anymore. I don't want anxious attachment. How do we actually become secure?
I love that you asked this. And I think one of the things that is so important is stopping this loop of invalidating yourself and pushing your emotions down. Because what happens is you're told you're too much. You're trying to be the cool girl, right? The woman with anxious attachment. You're like, okay, I'm not going to be too much. I'm going to play it cool. And then you're invalidating yourself, and then your emotions get bigger. And then you kind of get to this place where you go, oh my gosh, I have to speak to my partner or this person I'm dating. I have to tell them everything. We have to break that cycle. And one of the most powerful things you can do is start rewiring your brain with, I'm not too much, right? My emotions are valid. My needs are valid. I deserve to take up space. And then I would want you to really practice self-soothing, of learning how to really validate what you're experiencing, calming your nervous system, learning how to show up for yourself as your ideal parent, Because what happens a lot with anxious attachment is it's the outsourcing of the self-soothing. You're wanting the partner to come and do it, and you're also feeling like you shouldn't have emotions. So then you're struggling to take care of your own emotions. But you take your power back when you start validating yourself, you're learning how to self-soothe, and then you can approach relationships in a much more stable, balanced way. And asking for what you need. But I would start with the self-soothing.
So
I know it's a long answer.
how does somebody self-soothe? What does that actually look like in the moment?
So there's so many things you can do. I think with anxious attachment, this is going to sound, I guess, a little bit, yeah, I'll just get into it. One of the things you have to do first before you even self-soothe is you have to reconnect to a relationship with yourself. What does that mean? Okay. Well, with anxious attachment, you're trained to be constantly scanning your environment. You're hypervigilant. You're focused on the needs of others. You're very externally focused. So we have to reconnect you to yourself. With my clients, the first thing I have them do is I have them set a timer on their phone 3 times a day. I want you to pause, breathe. I want you to tune inwards and ask yourself, what am I feeling? Like, what am I really feeling? What are the emotions? What do I need to feel better supported? And I want you doing that 3 times a day so we can reconnect you to yourself.
For sure. And I feel like that's a good point around anxious attachment, like people pleasing. It is we are more other people focused, focus on the needs of other people versus
Yes.
ourselves. So I feel like the self-soothing is so important. And not just that, what would you say, I guess, to even take it a step further of like nervous system soothing, right? Like, how can we make our nervous systems feel safe?
Yeah, there's so many pieces to this. And one of the pieces that I won't get too into, but I think you'll agree with me, we do have to revisit your past trauma. We have to be able to look at what happened to you now that you're an adult and you're learning to be an emotionally securely attached adult, right? We have to then revisit your childhood from that lens or the things that happened to you in the past. And we have to kind of rewrite the story and help you let go of your past relational trauma. That's part of it. We can't really calm your nervous system until we've really done that. But there are other things you can do, right? Like we have to start developing habits. I'm sure this you talk about this all the time, Rebecca. You're the pro of like, okay, what is your grounding things that you're doing? For me, I am a hot bath person. Like at night, I have to take a hot bath. It's my time to be with myself. It's my time to reset. And I practice affirmations. I practice self-compassion work, inner child work. I'm making space to intentionally calm my body and calm my mind every day.
You're right. I think it goes farther than just, nervous system soothing, I guess, in the moment. It's like you have to be intentionally making your nervous system calm and working on the
Yes.
grounding principles in general every day, or else your nervous system's always going to be a wreck, which then therefore is going to make it hard to feel safe in your body, safe in relationships, if you're not, of course, getting at the root cause of things, the trauma and everything, but also making your body a safe space.
Proactive nervous system work. Because yes, we can obviously do things in the moment, but you and I know when you can start from a calm place and you can start from that securely attached place, you're just going to show up so much better. And it's going to be so much easier to then come back to that place. But if you're starting from this depleted, hypervigilant, fight or flight mode place, geez, you're going to be having to, all day long try to respond to being triggered. So I think I personally love preventative daily habits. Let's get you to a great place so that when things do come up, you're going to respond so much better.
For sure. I think that's such a good point. I think something else about anxious attachment, be curious to hear your thoughts, is like, for me personally, I feel like once I started bringing awareness and light into what I was going through and like maybe what my attachment style was, and I think this could help anyone else listening, you can start to identify your patterns and you can understand maybe when you're self-sabotaging in a relationship or dating, maybe when you're responding out of your attachment style, you can start to recognize it and be like, okay, that's not actually my truth. That's just my anxious attachment flaring up. So
Yes.
I think for everyone listening, if it's like overwhelming to like heal your attachment style, I think if you can just bring awareness to it in the first place, then you can start to recognize what is you and what is just your attachment. You know what I mean?
1,000%. That's definitely one of the things I work on with clients is learning to have that awareness. And then when you do notice it, just to have so much compassion. Right. Instead of, oh my gosh, I'm so annoyed. Here I am being anxiously attached again. You want to say, wow, there's that inner child me, that part of me that this is how she learned to show up. And wow, these are the things that she knew to do. And I just have so much compassion for her. And I also just want to invite myself, how can I show up as my securely attached self now? What would that look like? So notice the difference, right? We want to be compassionate.
I love that. So you can almost separate it. It's like, that's just my insecure self coming up, but my secure self would know this.
Yes.
So I think we should get into some of the other insecure attachment styles as well. Let's get into
Yeah.
avoidance. Maybe the girlies listening are like, you know, I'm actually not anxious. I'm more of an avoidant.
Yeah. You know, avoidant attachment style is fascinating. And I think you'll find this interesting. It's actually the fastest growing attachment style, according to research.
I'm not surprised though, in our like day-to-day, you know, the new
Yes.
social media world in our young generation, I feel like everyone's scared of everything, like everyone's so avoidant now.
Yes. We have so much pseudo connection, right? Where we're, you know, somewhat connected online, but we don't have these real deep, vulnerable connections where we are in person with people, relying on them, receiving support from people day to day. So you're absolutely right. The environment that we're in is a huge factor. And I think hyper independence has been really valued in our culture for a long, long time.
Good point. Okay, so what would be like the definition of an avoidant?
Yes, avoidant attachment style. So this is where, once again, I'll talk about hyper independence a lot. You learned that you can only depend on yourself and that it's really not safe for you to depend on other people. And you also learn to cut yourself off from your own emotional experience and expressing emotions, hearing other people's emotions. That's actually very scary. And what happens a lot is avoidantly attached people, they still want connection. We all need connection to survive. So they want it on some level. However, it's terrifying and they do a lot of unconscious distancing in relationships. Anybody listening, maybe you kind of, you know, have dated somebody who's like this, or you have a friend like this, where you think, oh my gosh, we're so close, we're bonding, we're getting to know each other. And then I just don't hear from them. What happened? They pull away, right? And that can be an avoidance strategy because intimacy doesn't feel safe.
Dating an avoidant is tough.
Yes.
It is tough. How do we manage if we are in a relationship or dating someone who is more on the avoidance spectrum?
What I always want people to know that is that avoidant attachment is not something that you can change. If you are dating somebody with avoidant attachment style, you definitely owe it to yourself to openly, honestly, and directly express how you're being impacted by the way they are showing up. And you get to invite them to try to co-create secure attachment with you. However, do not believe the lie that we see kind of in rom-coms and romance novels that, oh, if you're just good enough and if they have this major insight that all of a sudden they're going to want to be with you and they're going to become emotionally available. That's not how it works. You quote unquote not being enough is not the reason for somebody not being able to invest. It goes back to their emotional capacity and the things they learned about relationships and their discomfort with intimacy.
So what you're saying here is to not base your self-worth over the fact if somebody is a like if somebody's just an avoidant, you're not,
Yes.
you have to recognize when your self-worth, like if your self-worth is not is plummeting because of the fact that somebody's maybe not emotionally available. It's not a reflection of you.
Exactly. And my anxiously attached folks, you will be drawn to avoidantly attached folks like a magnetic pole. And the avoidantly attached people will be drawn to the anxiously attached people. And it's because you both fit each other's beliefs about love. You match one another's models, right? The avoidantly attached person thinks people want too much from me. They're going to need so much. I'm not a good partner. I'm not going to be able to give them what they need. And then the anxiously attached person isn't getting enough reassurance. They are wanting a lot of reassurance from their partner. So they create this perfect storm. And what is necessary is one person has to decide, okay, I want to create secure attachment. And if the other person is able to meet them there and work on it, you can heal that type of relationship dynamic. But it takes both people wanting to create secure attachment.
The two-player game
It is. And
makes
I could go
sense.
on and on about this. I mean, this could be its whole own podcast, but we find ourselves in dynamics that mirror our childhood unfinished business. And we have this unconscious wish that this time we'd get a different outcome. And our brain goes, if we can just get a different outcome this time, it'll make up for all the trauma that I experienced in the past. That is known as repetition compulsion. And that's an unconscious process that a lot of us are engaging in our relationships.
Interesting, interesting. And I've definitely heard and seen that anxious and avoidance come together like magnets.
Yes.
And that's, I think what also would be interesting to talk about too, as I'm thinking about the listeners of maybe there are women out there right now who listening who are like, hey, maybe I'm not dating an avoidant. Maybe I am the avoidant. Like maybe I'm the problem. Maybe
Right.
it's me. So what can somebody who's in that situation or scenario do to help be more secure and open in relationships?
I love it. I think avoidant attachment sometimes gets a bad
A bad
rep,
rap.
It really does. And the thing is I just want to give you so much compassion if you're there. All it tells me is that intimacy hasn't been safe for you. And that at some point you learned you had to be hyper independent. And I think it starts with acknowledging that. And one of the things I would want you to work on is starting to really learn how to trust yourself. Okay, we have to learn how to trust yourself in terms of a lot of times with avoidant attachment, you've shut down your emotions. Same with anxious attachment, but it's a different reason why you're doing it, right? Anxious attachment, you're people pleasing, so you're just so focused on others. Avoidant attachment, it's scary. You don't like how it feels. You've learned that tuning into your emotions doesn't have a good outcome, so you just quit doing it. So you're also disconnected from yourself if you have avoidant attachment style. And I would also want you to work on how do we just start tuning into you and you knowing what your emotions are and what you're feeling and what your needs are and building that safety with yourself first. And then little by little, I'd want you focusing on safety with others and how do you create those safe emotional connections.
I love that. The idea of you need to first tune into yourself and start listening to your emotions again, start feeling your emotions, you know, tapping back into that channel and pathway with yourself that might have been broken.
Yeah, it was disconnected for survival, right? I think the classic example, if we look at early attachment style, the studies that they did, it was children developing avoidant attachment style when they were the kids that were left in the crib that cried and cried and cried and cried and no one ever came, right? You think about that. Kids that didn't have a positive result when they expressed their emotions, in order to survive, they had to cut off from the emotions.
That makes sense. Versus an anxious, what would the situation be like for somebody who's anxious when they were like a child and they would cry for help?
So it could be, what's fascinating is it could be the same, but it's internalized differently. I always
Oh,
find
that's
that fascinating,
fascinating.
right? So with anxious attachment, maybe you cried and cried and cried and no one came, but you just learned, I just have to keep crying. I just have to keep crying. And then maybe somebody did come eventually and your brain went, oh, that's the answer. I just have to keep crying and someone is going to come. So we could have similar experiences. Perfect example, I have a twin sister. Same childhood, different attachment styles. Right? I mean, I'm my own case study here. Like, we can go through similar things, but our brains can internalize them differently.
That's fascinating. Fascinating. Wow. And I feel like that's why work like this is so important, because unless we're uncovering these deeper subconscious, thought patterns and beliefs and wounds within us, we're going to keep repeating the same scenario more or less. That's why I think we find, these girls or people, finding themselves in toxic relationships and over again. And, it's not until you kind of break the cycle, really look at what's happening within you and choose to consciously choose to show up differently. So I guess I would ask you, if there's somebody listening right now who's like, I want to find my soulmate, I'm ready to break this cycle and show up securely so I can find somebody who's also secure, because it matches, you're a mirror in your relationships. What is like, if we could just do one thing, like if there's one piece of advice you would tell them to start doing today in order to achieve that, what would you say? Could be two things if you can't decide.
So I love that you're listening to this podcast. I'll say that. Great. And I would honestly say, let's start with the awareness piece. I know we've talked about that. Start with getting to know what your style is. So get really curious. And please, 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 as you're learning, don't use it as a way to beat yourself up. Use it as a tool for awareness and have a ton of compassion and curiosity. The worst thing you can do is just label yourself and say, well, I'm an anxiously attached person, right? No, you are a human who developed anxious attachment patterns as a way to survive in your relationships. So you can always, so I need you to know with that awareness, you can always change and become securely attached. It doesn't define you.
Beautiful. It doesn't define you. Do not label yourself as one or
Yes.
the other.
Yes.
That's
And
not who you
then,
are at your core.
exactly, it's not who you are. And then I think something really powerful that I would also have you do, I would just have you to get a really, really clear vision. And I'm sure you do a lot of work with your clients like this. Get a super clear vision on who is the securely attached version of you. How do they show up in their relationships? What are their relationship non-negotiables? I think one of those is probably open, honest, direct communication, right? Securely attached communication. I would just can have you connect to that version of you so that you know that it's possible and that that model exists, that reality exists where you are showing up as that version of you.
That's beautiful. I do really like that. And for sure, I do work like this all the time because it's super powerful.
Yes.
One last question on this before we switch gears a little bit. I'm personally curious on this because I have known for myself and other girlfriends and relationships I've heard of. I would like to know, how do you know if you're somebody right now who's like maybe leans more in the anxious attachment style and that's, more of their patterns? How do you know if it's anxious attachment versus intuition? Because, as women, we have such a strong sense of intuition as well. And I find that sometimes it can be confusing to be like, wait, is this just my intuition telling me something about this relationship, this potential partner? Or is it my attachment style flaring up? How do you know the difference?
I love that you brought this up, and it's so powerful to think about. I think we have to get to this place where, I talked about self-trust and I talked about that exercise of tuning inwards. We do want to have a really healthy relationship with ourselves, first and foremost. So, developing that practice, you have to start tuning inwards. And then, once you do have that practice and you are connecting to yourself, I will tell you this, if it's an insecure attachment response, so whether it's anxious, avoidant, or disorganized attachment, which we can talk about too, if it's any of those three, it's going to be rooted in the emotion of fear. When you sit with it, when you journal, it's going to be fear when we get to the core. So it could be, I'm trying to think of one of anxious attachment. Let's say you're dating somebody new. And you're going, oh my gosh, they're not texting me back. I haven't heard from them. It's been 3 days. And what if they are with somebody else? I feel like they could be with somebody else. And if we have you sit with it and tune in and we go, okay, what is the emotion behind this? And if it is, I'm scared that they're going to leave me, I'm scared that this isn't going to work out, I can tell you that that's rooted in an insecure response. Now, intuition, you know this, when we sit with our intuition and we really feel into it and we connect to the emotion, it's calm, it's peace, it feels like relief, feels like coming home in some way. There's a whole different core emotion. So when trying to determine, is it my attachment style or is it intuition? It's about slowing down and doing that process so you can get to the root of the emotion.
That's very helpful. It's true. The anxious or the insecure attachment style in general will come out feeling like fear, like, oh my gosh, I need to like, it's like almost like tense, and it's like you feel
Yes.
like your fight or flight response coming out versus intuition, it shouldn't feel like an alarm. It should feel calm. So that's it's a good distinction.
And I think, and I should have probably mentioned this too, it's going to feel like you're trying to control, right? I mean, that's what fear is.
Control.
You're trying to control, you're trying to predict, you're trying to control. Yeah, and that's a lot of anxious attachment as well, trying to control and predict.
So true. If you're feeling the need to like try and control the outcome or control another person,
Yes.
that's definitely where it's stemming from.
Yes.
So interesting. I know all of this information honestly is going to help so many of the girlies today because if there's one thing I can say, if you are trying to attract better partners, attract a secure love, the more inner work you do, the more that you heal yourself and get into the security. The better you're going to be, the better results you're going to have in your dating life, in your relationships. Even if you're already in a relationship, you're going to have better outcomes and feelings. So, the more inner work we do, the better off this will get. I mean, this is literally what I love talking about, in general.
Yes.
But I think what also would be interesting to talk about, and it's actually what I heard you speak about on stage at the event that I went to, was how we can apply attachment theory in our businesses. And I know that I do have some listeners who are, entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, and or maybe they want to be content creators. And something that I find really interesting is, attachment theory doesn't just show up in our relationships, it also shows up in our relationship to anything, in, our
Yes.
relationship to our business, in a relationship to our Instagrams. That's something that I've been working on is like my relationship with Instagram and how am I
Yes.
showing up with attachment to there. So I guess I would ask you, I mean, let's get into that. How can we apply attachment theory to have better relationships with our businesses, with our social pages?
Yes, and I love that talk that I put together. The title was The Secure CEO. And just like my work with helping people with romantic relationships, that whole talk came from my own experiences, right? And for me, it was really interesting. I had done so much work, just healing in my relationships. I was in this incredible, and we're getting married. Like, I was like, I am so good. I am so secure. And then what happened? I had to work on it in my business. It was like, oh shit, my disorganized attachment is coming up in my business. And so then I had to heal it in that area of my life. And it's true, we get to heal different parts of our lives, and your attachment style shows up everywhere. What I know is this: building a business, having social media, I mean, I don't have to tell you this, it is one of the most vulnerable things that you can do on this planet. You are putting yourself out there to be seen and obviously to serve people, but it is this very intimate, real thing to say, I'm essentially giving birth to this thing and I'm putting it out in the world. And oh my gosh, I hope people like it. So, of course, I always say the more vulnerable something is, the more likely it is to trigger our attachment patterns. So, with something that is this vulnerable, of course, your attachment style is going to come up. So, with anxious attachment, it could look like, oh, I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want to be rejected. I'm so scared to post things. Or as soon as I post something, I'm going to check and I'm going to make sure that I got a lot of likes because I really need that external proof from people that I'm enough. Right. And then with avoidant attachment, I'm thinking about how we'd show up on Instagram. It could look like, I'm just not going to look at the likes. I'm just going to post. I don't care. Almost pretending to be the cool girl in a way, right? We're disconnected.
Totally. It's so prevalent with Instagram as well. I mean, social media in general, but even more so when you're saying like the validation piece of it, it's so ingrained in us as, humans to crave that validation. And especially if you're somebody who falls on the more anxious side of the spectrum, it can be really difficult to manage, as a content
Absolutely.
creator. I know I've struggled with that before. I know that I've had to go through many, many different whirlwinds of, self-worthiness and doing the inner work and constantly reevaluating my relationship with Instagram and my business in general. Because if I wasn't conscious of, if I'm not conscious of, the self-worth and self-love I'm giving myself first, I'm going to want it from the external, and then therefore people can feel that energy.
Absolutely. They absolutely can. And I think I talked about this in the talk of, we have to learn how to disconnect our self-worth from our businesses, from our bank accounts, from our follower numbers, from the number of likes that we're getting, even from clients. What clients think is sometimes they're going to be going through their own stuff and they're going to have projections onto us, and we can't base our self-worth on what a client's going through either. So I think you have to really work on secure attachment, a regulated nervous system, and that self-worth that is disconnected from the ups and downs of entrepreneurship because it is a roller coaster.
So basically, all the things that we can do to help heal anxious attachment, our relationships will also help heal our anxious attachment or whatever insecure attachment we have with our business, with our Instagram, with whatever it is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all connected. And just like you would imagine, when I work with clients, I have them get really clear on what would it feel like to be in an amazing relationship with your emotionally available dream partner. I would want you to think about what would it be like for you to be the CEO of a life-giving, fully supported business that feels good, where you have ease and flow and calm. What would that relationship be like, and what would it look like, right? We have to get clear on what would that model of business be like for us.
So kind of idealizing what our dream model of having that connection to or relationship with our business or Instagram would look like. And
Yeah.
then we can start to actionize on that from there.
Yes, exactly. Work backwards, right? Like, let's get clear on what do we really want? What would it look like? And let's create it intentionally.
Was there anything you did that really helped you? I mean, this is all super helpful, but I'm thinking about your specific journey with your attachment to your business and social media and
Yeah.
everything. What was there anything that really helped you, I guess, on that journey to now being at a place today where you can confidently say, I'm securely attached to my business?
That's a great question. I think when I started out in my business, I was in full on fight or flight mode, and I was also very, very good at being hyper independent, and I was working all of the time, and that served me really well for a while. So I just want to acknowledge that if you're in a place where you're in that hyper independence, or you're even in your anxious attachment spiral, and it can work for a while. It was helpful for probably a year. And
Beginning.
then, yeah. And then I got completely burnt out, right? And so here's what I want you to know. It could work for a while, but you deserve to have a business that is here for the long run. And that's ultimately what I realized, that the things that worked at one point were no longer working, and that I wanted to create something that was sustainable, that can be around forever. I want to build a brand and a legacy that lasts. And in order to do that, I had to change how I related to my business. One of the major things, obviously, well, I could go on and on, but having support, having a team. I now have seven people on my team, and I've allowed myself to be supported, and that has been an absolute game changer. So that I can be in my zone of genius and showing up how I want to. Financially, I think this doesn't get talked about enough, but if we're going to be securely attached to our businesses, we have to know our numbers. We really do. We have to be connected, right? It's just like in a healthy relationship, you have to know what's going on. You have to have ongoing conversations. So know all your data, know your numbers, know that, oh yeah, it's normal for me to have a dip in revenue in this month. It helps to be involved in the data to help calm your nervous system.
That's a really good point because I think a lot of people would rather like not look at it and just like be
Yeah.
ignorant to it instead of being like, okay, let's actually see what's going on. It's like facing our traumas, quote unquote, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because we can have a calm nervous system, be secure. Yes. And we need the behaviors and the actions that back those things up, right? So knowing your numbers, for me, this is a huge one too, of having blocked off my calendar in such a detailed way where I have a client day, I have a podcast day, I have a CEO day.
That helps me so much too. It's something I recently
Yes.
implemented. It's a game changer.
Game changer. It helps your nervous system, helps you know what zone you're not having to context switch all the time. You know what you're doing on any given day, right? Like, it's those little things that support you and help you show up secure. And you deserve to know what those things are. So that's why we said start with the vision. And then you're going to have to experiment. This didn't all happen for me overnight. It wasn't like, oh, let me have 17 members and structure my. This is the evolution of 5 years of me figuring out these are the things that lead to me feeling empowered, supported, and securely attached to my business.
I love it. I love it. This is all such good information, and I really think that everyone listening should try to apply this to their own life and see, how they can show up differently in their relationships and their business and their friendships, whatever it might be. Because you're bringing that awareness and choosing to show up differently. So I know the listeners have gotten so much good, juicy information from you, Dr. Morgan. Thank you so much for coming on. I think to close out the episode, I would love to just get one final question, which is, and I usually ask all my guests this, which is, there was one thing that you want the listeners to take away from today's episode. Like, if they didn't hear anything else, or they don't remember anything else, what is the one thing that you would tell them as they continue on in their journeys.
I would say this, it's never too late to become securely attached. Your past relational trauma, your past relationships do not determine your current or future ones. You can have the relationship and the life that you want.
Mic drop. Never too late.
It's never too late. People need to know that. So, I think so many people think, oh, I'm too broken. I've gone through too much. No.
So true. It's very empowering. So I love that. Thank you so much for coming on. And before we exit out, where can the listeners find you?
Thank you so much for having me. I loved our conversation. You can find me on my podcast, Let's Get Vulnerable, available anywhere podcasts are aired, over 500 episodes on attachment theory, if you're into it.
Wow.
So there's a lot there. And then on Instagram, I'm at Dr. Morgan Coaching.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan. And make sure to check out all of her amazing information. We'll have it linked in the show notes below.
Thank you, Rebecca.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.